Good morning. Welcome to all those that are with us for the Likutei Halacha Shiur. Today, a new beginning. We start Hilchos Purim. And as much as we're going to see in the next 20 pages here, or so 30 pages, there's about another 100 or 200 pages throughout Likutei Halachos on the topic of Purim, all over. Before we begin, we dedicate the Shiur today to a complete Refuah Shelema for all those that need it, including especially Akiva Michoel ben Sora Huva, Chaviva Chana Basgalia, Shmuel Doi ben Forma Perel, David ben Chana Toiva, Chavaliba bas Mirim Dvoira, David ben Lea Liba, and his wife Dvoira Naomi bas Shena Rezel, Yuspehendel bas Gitalea, Sorocha bas Yuspehendel, Besoich Shah Choyle Yisroel. Inyan Purim or Kriya Samegila, Al Pima Shekosav Rabbeinu B'maymar Uviyom Habikurim. Rav Nosson Zal is going to expound on the topic of Purim, Megillah reading, based on chapter 56 in Likutei Moran, Ayin Shon Heitev Kol HaMaymar, and he's also going to be quoting from other chapters in Likutei Moran. Vehine Iker Hisgabrus Malchus Horesho Shehu Homon Amolek Hu Kisheha Malchus Digdusha Hibehester. The main ability for the kingdom of evil to become strong and powerful is when the kingdom of holiness is hidden, it's not revealed. And this is one of the important themes in the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus in defining our mission in the world, that our mission is the revelation of the kingdom of Hashem, to reveal it, to broadcast it, to make known all over that Hashem is King. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, describing what the Jews are going to go through in exile, Haster Aster. Hashem says, I will be hidden, very hidden. And also as it says about Yaakov Avinu and Esav, Ula'oim Mila'oim Yemotz, that these two will be on opposite ends of a seesaw. When one goes up, the other one goes down. And Ula'oim, a nation, Mila'oim Yemotz, from another nation they will become strong. The non-Jews become strong when we become weak. V'alkein, and therefore, Hiskaber HaMalchus HaShveirosh, Alidei Pegam V'chet Ho'achila. And this is why the Gemara in Megillah tells us that one of the most important factors that gave Achashveirosh and Haman power was the fact that we sinned in Achila. The fact that there were Jews, leaders of the Jews, who participated in the Suda of Achashveirosh. Shegoram lohem lehonois misudose sheloisha oisa rosha. As a result of a pegam in Achila, that's what caused us to enjoy the meal of Achashveirosh harosha, and alideze hisgaber aleim. And this is what empowered the forces of evil to become powerful over the Jewish people. Kaidei pegam ho achila hu hastoras ponim. Bebechinas vehistarti ponai vahoyo lechoyo kama shekosov Rabbeinu Zal b'mokom acher. Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 47 in Likutei Moran that when we are not eating properly, this causes hester ponim. This causes Hashem to go into hiding, to be hidden. Based on this pasuk, v'histarti ponai, Hashem says, I will hide my face, v'hoyo lechol, and it'll be associated with achila, improper achila. Kalidei pegam hu achila, kishe'eno bekashrus, yecholim lipoel chas v'shalom, mehashivim ponim shel toiro, lebechina shena, shubechinas hastoras ponim. Because Rabbeinu Zal explains in chapter 60 in the Likutei Moran, that when we do improper things related to eating, when our eating isn't 100% kosher, and kosher doesn't just mean kosher food, it means we're not eating properly and correctly, a person can fall away and become disconnected from all 70 interpretations of the Torah and fall into sleep. Shehi bechinas hastor asponim. Sleep is referred to as a form of hester ponim, where Hashem is hidden from the person. Kima Shekosov Rabbeinu Mizeh B'maymar Posach Rabbi Shimon V'omar. As Rabbeinu Sal elaborates on this in chapter 60 in Likutei Moran, in the chapter entitled Posach Rabbi Shimon Eis Lasis Lashem Eferu Torasecho. Ayin Shom, study that chapter. V'alkein Nesia Eitz Lasis Hasuda B'soif Golus Bovel. And it's for this reason that Achashveirosh came up with this great idea to make this incredible banquet at the end of the Golus Bovel. Hadainu besoif hashivim shana shel Golus Bovel. At the end of the 70 years that the Jews were out of Eretz Yisrael, they were in Bovel. Ki shivim shana shel Golus Bovel hu bechinas sheno. Because the 70 years of being in exile in Bovel represent sleep, spiritual sleep for the Jewish people. Bechinas mi iko denayim shivin shnin. As Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 60 in Likutei Moran, when he quotes the story in the Gemara in Tainus about the Jewish Rip Van Winkle, about Choyni Hamagol, who read a pasuk in Tehillim, where the Jews said that when we returned from the exile of Bavel, it felt like a dream. Beshuv Hashem Eshiva Siyoin Choyinu Kecholmin. And Choyni Hamagol asked, is it conceivable that a person should sleep for 70 years? And the Gemara says Hashem made a special miracle whereby Choyni Hamagol fell asleep for 70 years. And Rabbeinu Zal, in interpreting that story, tells us that sleep, when a person is spiritually asleep, that represents a disconnect from the Torah. We know that Das, when a person's brain is functioning fully, then the person is considered to be fully awake. When a person is asleep, the brain shuts down 90% or 99%. So Shena is the Bechina of Hester Ponim. Bechinas Yemei Shnoi Senovem Shivim Shana, as the Pasuk says, our lives are generally a concept of 70 years. Zeramtom Shena Yihyu. However, there's something that opposes that 70, which is the sleep, which detracts from the 70. Bechinas b'shuv Hashem es shiva siyoin hayinu kecholmim, as we quoted the pasuk earlier. Sheze koy al shivim shana shel golus bavel. That pasuk is referring to the 70 years that the Jews were in exile in Bavel. Kemo shapirish Rashi zal, as Rashi explains over there. V'alkein, and therefore b'soif hashivim shana, at the end of the 70 years, she'oz hu his gabrus hashena. When then the sleep is strong, bechinas ha'astora, which means the hiddenness of Hashem, the lack of das, alkein. Therefore, kishero Haman v'Achashverosh she'adayin loy negalu Yisrael. When Haman and Achashverosh observed that 70 years had passed and the Jews were not yet taken out of exile, v'loy nesoyru mishnasim, which means we did not yet wake up from our sleep. We didn't come out of the sleep yet. Alkein sovar shelo yigalu v'yisoyru oid. Therefore, Achashverosh thought there will not be a redemption. There will not be a wake up anymore. Ki ad hashivim shana yesh tikvo l'yisoyru mishena. Because up to 70 years, there still is hope that the person is going to wake up from their sleep. Me'achar sha'adayin lo yinoflu mikol hashivim ponim. Because of the fact that the person has not yet disconnected completely from all 70 channels of the Torah, from all 70 faces of the Torah. That's the term that's used. V'alkein hoyoroi she'iya ha'gula tekef umiyad b'soif afir mishona v'lo yitacher afilu rega. And therefore, it would have made sense that the Jews should be taken out of Golus immediately, as soon as the 70 years are coming to completion, so that we shouldn't fall any further, chas v'shalom. However, why? And it should be, the Gula shouldn't delay even for a second. Ki kishe yisakev yoyser mishivim shana. Because if the Golus continues for more than 70 years, v'noiflim chas v'sholem mikol hashivim ponim, which means that the Jewish nation falls and becomes disconnected from all 70 connections to the Torah, azai koshe ma'oid lehis oira me'ashena. then it's very, very difficult to wake up from such a sleep. Ki im alidei bechinas hadrasponim, unless Hashem shows us a real beautiful face, a tremendous light. Sheze yef shelios ki im alidei Moshiach sheyovoi b'mehirah b'yameinu, where that incredible revelation will only take place when Moshiach comes, which we hope will be very soon. Shehu bechinas hadrasponim. Moshiach represents this beautiful face, this tremendous light. Bebechinas viad atik yoimin moto. As the Navi says, that Moshiach will arrive. When Moshiach will arrive, there'll be this light called atik yoimin. Atik yoimin zebechinas hadrasponim. Kamashikos v'shamaymer posach Rabbi Shimon anal. The term atik yoimin, which refers to the highest light of Hashem, is associated with hadrasponim, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 60 in Likutei Moran. V'alkein, and therefore, kishero sheloi negalu b'soif hashiv mishana, when Achashverosh and Haman saw that based on their calculations, 70 years had already passed, and the Jews were not being taken out of exile, ki to'u b'cheshboim, because the Gemara in Megillah shows how Haman and Achashverosh made a mistake in their calculation. K'moshom Rabbi Seinuzal, Al came therefore nisyatsu. They came up with this great idea, lehagbir asheinu aleihem, to increase the sleep, to intensify the sleep of the Jewish people. Ulahapila mikol hashivim ponim, and to throw us down, to disconnect us from all 70 connections to the Torah, shehein bechina shivim shana, which are referred to as 70 years. How? Alidei ho'achila, by being involved in a meal, in a suda of rishoyim. Shaidei ze noiflim lebechina shena kanal, as Rabbi Nizal points out, that when there's an improper kind of eating, it puts a person to sleep. We know that the purpose of eating is to keep a person alive, and to add life. We're supposed to eat, food is supposed to give us energy, but we know that there are certain foods that when a person eats it, it has the opposite effect. When a person drinks wine to excess, or a person eats dairy products especially, we know the Torah tells us that when Sisera was killed by Yael, she gave him cheese and wine. Cheese, warm dairy, and wine, which is a formula for sleep, Rahman al-Islam. Interesting to note that Rav Nosson Zal, in one place in Likutei Halachos, comments that dairy is not a good thing. This is something that for years and years, maybe thousands of years, people were under the impression that dairy, milk, is the healthiest thing in the world, and dairy products, calcium, etc. And Rav Nosson Zal follows the Torah, which tells us that milk, generally weak, milk and dairy products weaken a person. It's only for small children, when their bones are first developing, that Rav Nosson Zal says, for them it's good a little. Whereas generally, fish, meat, those things are what give a person strength, generally. V'alkein osu suda besoif hashiv mshana, and this is why Achashverosh and Haman prepared this great meal at the end of what they thought was the end of the 70 years, kedei sheyehonu Yisrael mehem, in order that the Jews should have pleasure from it, should enjoy it. It's interesting to note that Rav Nosson Zal uses this wording. I saw recently one of the Mefarshim on the Megillah asks a question about this, because the Gemara mentions the Jews that went to the Suda of Achashverosh did not eat treif. That they didn't do. They didn't eat non-kosher. So what did they do wrong? What was the crime? And the wording in the Gemara, and Rav Nosson Zal uses this, he repeats this twice, is the fact that they enjoyed the Suda of Achashverosh. Supposedly, they were supposed to go there. Those that agreed to go were going because they thought there was no way out. We have to go there. Otherwise, there'll be a catastrophe. He'll wipe out the Jewish people. They thought, as many Jews and many generations believe, that by being complacent to the non-Jews, by playing along with them and placating them, etc., by showing that we're with them, that through this they'll hate us less, they won't persecute us, etc. So there were some rabbis that agreed to go to the Suda in order that Ahasuerus shouldn't be insulted. But the Gemara says that they had pleasure. They did it with pleasure. That was the crime. Kize yodua. Listen to these words now. Rav Nosson Zal says, because this is a known fact. Shekol se'udasoi shel oisei rosho hoya kedei lahachshil Yisrael ba'achilas isur v'kanam. That the millions or billions of dollars that Ahasuerus spent on that meal, 180 days of partying, banquet, the most expensive wines, the most expensive decor, everything, the purpose, the mission was to cause the Jews to fall, to be machshil the Jews in a treif type of eating, in an unkosher type of eating. V'zeh shom rabbi senazal, and this is why the Gemara says, Bayomim hohen, in those days, Kesheves HaMelech al Kisei Malchusoi, when the king was sitting well established on his throne of kingdom, and the Gemara says, Kishenes Yashve Malchusoi, when he felt secure in his kingdom, what gave him that false security? Kichosha, because he calculated that the Jews are out of their country for 70 years, which means they've disconnected from all 70 channels of the Torah. Now's my up, and now the malchus of the sitrachra can be strong. The malchus of kedusha is finished. Kalidei to'usoi, because through his mistake, shesovar shekvar kolu hashivim shana v'loy negalu, he thought that the 70 years had come to completion and the Jews had not been redeemed. Al kein lo yigo aluoi. Therefore, it's hopeless. They will not be taken out of exile. It's the end of the kingdom of Kedusha. Ki yiplu chas v'shalom l'sheino yoyser mishiv mishana kanal. Because they'll fall into a sleep that's more than a 70-year sleep. V'al kein oso mishte daika. And that's why he made a party. Kedei lahachshil Yisrael, to give the, to knock the final nail into our coffin, chas v'shalom, to cause the Jews to stumble, kedei lahagbir aleihem hashena, to increase the sleep, ulahapil chas v'shalom mikol b'chinas hashiv mishona, and to cause us to fall away completely from all 70 years, shehein b'chinas shivim ponim shel Torah, which means the 70 interpretations, the 70 faces of the Torah, kedei shayidei zeh tischayim malchusoi, because then his kingdom will be permanently established, will be solid. Because these two don't go together. When the Malchus of Kedusha is strong, the Malchus of the Sitrachra is weak. And so long as the Malchus of Kedusha is still around, the Malchus of the Sitrachra cannot be permanently established. But if we could defeat the Malchus of Kedusha completely, then there's a chance, chas v'shalom, of the Malchus of the Sitrachra experiencing complete success. V'al kein bi'oisoi sudo yo'atz homan arosho laharoiges vashti amalka. And this is why it was at this party, this banquet, that Haman HaRosha comes up with the great idea to kill Vashti HaMalka, who's the worst marshas in the world, one of the most evil people in the world. It sounds ridiculous. Haman would want her on his team. Imagine the three of them together, Ahasuerus, Vashti, Haman, invincible, Chut HaMishulosh. Shekol zeh hoya atzas ha-sitrachra. This was all the Eitzah of the Sitrachra. The Kavanosa, and the Kavana of the Sitrachra was, hoya kedei shalidei zeh yizgalgel hadovor, that by killing Vashti, this super marshas, who would make the Jewish women work on Shabbos completely naked. Through this would evolve into Vatilokach Esther es Beis HaMelech, that there'll be a beauty pageant and they'll find the Jewish woman who represents the Malchus of Kedusha and they'll take her captive. Kedei lahovi b'chinas Malchus b'hastoro yisera b'nehem, to take the Malchus of Holiness and bring it into a further state of hiddenness. Aval be'emes, hayokoyach be'mordechai legaloi sahastorois. However, Mordechai at tzaddik was so great at tzaddik that he had the ability to reveal the hiddenness, to take the malchus of kedusha, the shechina, out of golus, out of hiddenness completely, from hastora to gilui. As we know, it's called Megillas Esther. Megillah means to reveal, legalos Esther, the hiddenness. Vegam yesh loy koyach lo oirom ulahakimom mehashenov vahanafilo mikol hashiv mishono aydei pegamo achila kanal. And Mordechai at tzaddik was so great that he had the ability to wake the Jews up and to get us out of this sleep, out of this fall, having fallen away from all 70 connections to the Torah by eating improperly. Ki Mordechai hu bechinas rav chesed, because the Arizal reveals to us that Mordechai is bigimatria rav chesed. He is that super high level tzaddik, as Rabbi Nizal speaks about over there in chapter 56. Bechinas hadras ponim, he is like Moshe Rabbeinu in that face that shines a bright light. Bechinas atik yoimen, he is connected to the highest sources of kedusha. Bechinas sipurei maisius shel shonim katmoinios. As Rabbi Nizal mentions in chapter 60 in Likutim Ram, that when a person is asleep and you want to wake them up, when a person is spiritually asleep and you want to wake them up, you need to tell them a story. The right kind of story can inspire people, can give them a message that they can't get through any other means. And Rabbi Nizal says that when it's an ancient story, when it's Sipurei Maisius Mishonim Kadmoinios, when it's a story that goes way, way back, that story, that kind of story can wake a person up from the deepest sleep. Shalidei zeh yechoylen lo'ira me'ashena shel kol ha'shivim ponim. Through that kind of story, a person can be woken up and taken out of a sleep of all 70 faces. Ki Mordechai bigimatria rav chesed. Kemuva b'mayim ranal, as Rabbi Nizal explains in chapter 56 in Likutei Moran. Any questions? Okay. V'ze shemotzinu, and this is why we find shekol ikar hageula hahu hevi Mordechai al yidei sipur maisa. That how were the Jews saved in the story of Purim? How did the Geula come about? It started from a story that Mordechai HaTzadik told. Bechinas vayageid Mordechai le'Esther Hamalka. That Mordechai told Esther Hamalka, you know what happened? Guess what I heard? Shesiper Hamaisa Shehoya le'Esther. He told the story that had happened, that two officers of the king, Bigson Voseresh, he heard them plotting to kill the king, to murder the king. And they were speaking a language that they were sure Mordechai the Jew didn't understand, but they didn't know that Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin. And in order to qualify as a member of the Sanhedrin, a person had to know all 70 languages. So Mordechai overheard their plan, and he told this story to Esther Amalka. Shehi bechinas ha-hastora, she represents this hastora, this hiddenness, bechinas shena, the sleep, kedei lo'oirer mehashena, in order to wake up from sleep, ulegalois ha-hastora, to reveal the hiddenness, al yidei zeh, by telling the story. Vechein hoyo basoif, and sure enough, that's what happened in the end. Shal yidei zeh bo ha-geula, that Mordechai telling this story to Esther is what led to the redemption Oz at that time. Kamesha Kosov, as the Megillah tells us, Balailo Hahu Nodedo Shnas Hamelech. On that night, the king couldn't fall asleep. And it says Hamelech, the king, which refers to Ahasuerus and also refers to the king, Hashem. Shnas Malkoi Sheloilam, K'moshom Rabbi Sinazal. The Gemara says this refers to the sleep of the king of the world. That Kaviyochel, there was a sleep imposed on the Shekhinah. V'zehoyo al yidei sipurei maisiyah shel bechinas Mordechai. And this came about through the story which Mordechai told. Kamashakosav, as it says over there in the Megillah, Vayomer, that Achashverosh, when he couldn't fall asleep, he told his servants, Lahovi is Sefra Zichroinos, Divrei Ayomim, they should bring the chronicles. He wants to read a book. And he wants to read the chronicles. Vayimotze Kosuv, and he found written there, Asher Higid Mordechai, that there was a man by the name of Mordechai who had told the king, he revealed to the king that there were people plotting to kill him, and he saved the king's life. Shemotsu Sipurei Maisias Shel Mordechai, Bechinas Rav Chesed, they found the story of Mordechai. Who is this Rav Chesed? Kaidei Sipurei Maisias Shel Mordechai Shesiper Li Esther, Shibchinas Knesses Yisroel, Shebo Bastor Aspan Bechinas Shena. Because through the stories which Mordechai, the tzaddik, tells to Esther, Shehi Bechinas Knesses Yisroel, she represents the Jewish nation, the Shechina, the Knesses Yisroel, Shebo Bahastor Asponim, when the Jewish people are in a state of Hester Ponim, Bechinas Shena, when we're asleep. So when the tzaddik tells us the right story, when we're asleep, Vaideze Hekitzom Va'oiro Me'ashena, this is how he woke up and took the Jews out of their sleep. Ve'echziron b'tshuva. And he returned us, he got us to return to Hashem with tshuva. Ayideze goram b'chinas hisoyros hasheino le'ela. This brought about a waking up from sleep above in heaven. B'chinas nododo shnas hamelech. The sleep of the king was disturbed. Kalidei sarusa de lesato hu sarusa de le'ela. Because every action that we perform down here, when there's a hisoiros, when there's an awakening from below, there's an awakening above in heaven. And this is why it says there in the Megillah that Esther Hamalka told this to the king in the name of Mordechai. Shebechinas Esther, dahainu Knesses Yisroel, what this is telling us in hidden form is that the Knesses Yisrael, the Shekhinah, which is represented by Esther, had an opening now to defend the Jewish people, to speak good about the Jewish people. Because she told the king of the world, and she brought up to heaven this story of Mordechai, which brought about an awakening from sleep. And this is the whole concept of the Megillah reading. Before we continue, I remember the Gemara says that when Haman says to Mordechai, Yeshnoi am echod, there is one nation, mefuzor u'mefoirot beinu amin, which is divided, they're dispersed among all the other nations. So the Gemara says on the word yeshnoi, there is, it's a strange kind of word that's being used there. Yeshnoi, that their Hashem is sleeping. Yoshen, he's asleep. That was the interpretation. And this is the whole concept of why we read the Megillah. Shekovu ledoiros, whereby the rabbis established a law for generations. Likrois haMegillah b'chol shana v'shana, that we read the Megillah every single year. Vehi ikar haMitzvah shel Purim, and that's one of the main mitzvahs of Purim. Kedei laoirer es Yisroel b'chol shana mibechina shena, to wake up the Jewish people every year from our sleep. How? Alidei Sipur Maisa Shokonam Shonakomonayis. By reading to us a story, an ancient story. Shezeh Bechinas HaMegillah. This is what the Megillah is. Shehi Dovor Yokor Me'oid. The Megillah is something very precious. V'chol Ikra Hu Bechinas Sipur Maisa. And what the Megillah is really all about, it's telling a story. Shemascheles, it begins like all stories begin. Once upon a time, Vayehi bimei Achashverosh. It was during the days of Achashverosh. V'chein atsoif haMegillah. And so too it continues to the end of the Megillah. Hakoil hoilech al derech sipur maisa. It's all following the format of telling a story. V'hu Maisa Shel Mordechai V'Esther. It's the story of these two tzaddikim, Mordechai and Esther, Shehu B'chinas Maisa Shel Shonim Kadmoniyos, which is an ancient story. It's thousands of years ago. Shaydeze Ma'oirim Mehashena B'chol Shona V'Shona. This is intended to wake us up out of our sleep every single year. B'chinas, as it says in the Megillah, V'hayomim ho'ele nizkorim v'nasim b'chol shana v'shana, that these days of Purim that took place then are remembered and reinitiated and activated b'chol shana v'shana every single year. Shehamaisa shel hayomim ho'ele meviim lebechinas zikoroim b'chol shana. The story of what took place in those days, it is what brings us to remember. Rabbi Nazar writes in another place in Likut Imran that shikha, forgetting, is synonymous with sleep. Remembering is a concept of waking up from sleep. Shehi b'chinas his oirus hashena. Shehu b'chinas shikha. That's the concept of waking up from sleep, which is associated with forgetting. Ki hashena hu histalkus hamoichin. Because sleep is when the person's brain leaves, the das leaves. Shezeo b'chinas shikha. That's what forgetting is also. The word shikha is the letters hachoshech, darkness, nighttime, sleep. Sherotzo homon lahagbir aleim, which homon wanted to impose on us. He wanted to overpower us, put us asleep. B'bechinas hipil pur, as it says that homon made a pur, a lottery. Shehi b'chinas shikha kamuva. And it's brought also that the term pur also means forgetting, to forget. V'chein b'chol shona nasezois. And so too, this occurs again every single year, that the forces of the Sitra Achra are trying to put us into a sleep, to get us to forget Hashem, to forget the Torah, to forget who we are, that we are a nation of royalty. V'idei kriyas ha-megillah. And by reading the Megillah, mevatlin hashikha, we eliminate the forgetting, v'chinas hashena, the sleep. V'chein mehai taima om rabbi sena zal, and so too, it's for this reason that the rabbis tell us, tzorich lefashto keigeris, that when a person is reading the Megillah, he's supposed to spread it out like a letter, which we don't do any other time during the year. Kihi kemoi sipur maisa shemesaprim meigeres, because the Megillah is like a person telling a story, reading a letter that they got that tells a whole story. Meigeres maisa shehoya bimei Mordechai v'Esther, that we receive this letter telling the story of what took place years ago in the time of Mordechai and Esther. Bechinas maisa shel shonim kadmoniyos, which is this ancient story. This is one of the incredible revelations of Rabbeinu Zal, that Rabbeinu Zal revealed in that chapter, in Likut Imran chapter 60, which was a shiur that Rabbeinu Zal gave on Rosh Hashanah, right before he started telling stories. And Rabbeinu Zal told his students then that people in the world say that you want to put somebody to sleep, you tell them a story, a bedtime story. And Rabbeinu Zal said, I say just the opposite. That when a person is asleep spiritually and you want to wake them up, there's nothing more powerful than a story. A story is an incredible, powerful light that can take a person out of sleep. And over there in chapter 60, Rabbi Nazal explains that there are two levels of stories. There's Sipurei Maisius Mikerev Shonim, there's recent stories, which are stories which are associated with 70 years, the recent 70 years. That's a lower level, corresponding to the seven lower spheroids, Zerantin. And then there's what's called Sipurei Maisius Mishonim Kadmoinios, ancient stories, which are above the 70 years, going into Atiko Kadisha, going into Hadras Ponim, going into tapping into that highest level. That's this highest level of light that can take a person out of the deepest sleep. And Rabbi Nazal said to his students at the time that I see that I've told you, I've given you all of my Torahs, which are these incredible medicines, this incredible light, and you're still not where I want you to be. I haven't succeeded in taking you out of this sleep. Now it's time to pull out the heavy artillery. We're going to start telling stories. And that's when Rabbeinu Zal told these stories, the Sipurei Maaseis, the 13 special stories, which are considered to be the top of the top, the highest level of Torah that Rabbeinu Zal reveals. Now I see somebody mentioned a question, why do Sipurei Maaseis have such a great power? Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this in maybe 100 pages of Likutei Halachos in different places. We know that Hashem begins the Torah with the first 30% of the Torah is stories. The entire Chumash Bereishis and half of Shemois is stories. Besides the stories that we have in the other Chumashim also. And we know in the Gemara, the Talmud, the Torah Shebaal Peh is divided into two sections, Halacha and Agoda. And the Gemara says, if you want Yira Shemayim, study the stories of the Gemara. Stories are an incredibly powerful thing, and we know this in actual life. We know that very often when a rabbi wants to inspire their congregation, one of the most effective things is the right kind of story. People hear a story, there are many reasons. One of the reasons is because in a story, the message is hidden, sort of. It's Sisrei Torah. And again, the Zohar HaKadosh says that most of the Zohar HaKadosh and the Sifrei Kabbalah are based on the stories of the Torah. The stories of the Torah are this Hastara. They represent the hidden Torah, which has in it a light that's so great, the light there is such high voltage that it has to be covered up in the story. But it's that super high level light that's hidden within that story. We're going to have more on this, Mirtz Hashem, throughout. It's brought that the word Maisa also, Rabbeinu Zal brings in a chapter in Likut Imran, I believe chapter 7 in the second half of Likut Imran, which is based on an incredible story in the Gemara about Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Yehoshua was asleep and Rabbi Eliezer was awake. A fantastic story. And there Rabbeinu Zal reveals from the Arizal that the word Maisa is made up of two parts. The outer letters are Mo. Mo is a term that's used to refer again to a very high level light. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, we are nothing, v'nachnu mo, and the middle letters are Shin Ayin, the 370 lights of the Oyer Haponim of Hashem. Again, referring to an incredible high level. To share a short story. When I was about 11 years old, my parents sent me to sleepaway camp one time for 1 year, the first and last time. And I went to this sleepaway camp for a whole summer, entire summer. A lot of interesting things that took place there. And one of the things that they did in the sleepaway camp at the time to encourage people to do a little bit of learning was they had a contest for memorizing Mishnayis Baal Peh to get us to spend a little time at least learning. And I remember I was one of the people who memorized a certain large number of Mishnayis Baal Peh, and I got two gifts for it. The camp itself gave me a gift, a set of Sforim called Yalkut Sipurim, which is a medrash on the Torah which has thousands of stories from all over Shas Bavli, Yerushalmi, all kinds of medrashim, and the Zohar HaKadosh, with a commentary on Bottom in Hebrew for the Aramaic words. And I remember that was a special gift which I ended up using till today many times in preparing shiurim and looking up interesting stories related to the parsha. And then there was a man in the camp who I had very little kesher with. He was one of the counselors in the camp. His name was Eliezer Ginsberg, Zichrona Livracha. I believe he passed away. He was a person who wasn't that healthy physically, and yet he was a counselor in the camp. And at the end of the summer, he came over to me and he gave me a gift. I believe it was also, he wanted a gift because of the Mishnayis, which was a Sefer Sipurei Maaseis. I had no idea what this was, but I, Baruch Hashem, I didn't do what many other Jews do and leave it in the camp or just put it in the shul. But I took it home with me and put it in the closet. And sure enough, it lay there for years. Until later, when I was 16 years old, and I met Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, and after going to his shiurim for a few months, at one point I heard this name, Sipurei Maisis. I heard it mentioned. And sure enough, I went to look in the closet in my parents' house, and I see, hey, interesting, that's the sefer that I have. And I open the cover, and I look inside, and I see Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov. And sure enough, since then, I was privileged to hear hundreds of shiurim on this sefer and to spend a lot of time studying this sefer. And then, one time, maybe a year or two after I already knew Rav Rosenfeld, and I was in my parents' house, and I was in my room, and I was learning Sipurei Maisis. And I remember my father came into the room, and he walked past me to go out to the yard in the back. And he took a look, he glanced to see what he saw I was learning. He was so happy because in those days, as a high school kid, I was doing other things also, playing ball, other things. So he was happy to see me learning. And I remember he took a look to see what the sefer was and saw Sipurei Maisis. And I saw a look on his face of a little disappointment. He was a little excited that he thought maybe I'm learning Gemara or Halacha. And of all the things to be learning, Sipurei Maisis. And he was disappointed, and I couldn't explain it to him, but I remember that by then I did understand that he doesn't know. He doesn't know that this isn't a storybook for children. This is one of the deepest sforim in the world. And I actually heard, I believe, that I heard this from Reb Nachman Burstein, Zichron Avrocha, that he mentioned that Rav Avram Sternhartz, Rabbi Koch of Leivzal, who was one of the outstanding leaders in Breslov of the previous generation, who was incredibly knowledgeable in all facets of Torah, Nigla, Nistar, he was a Poisek, he was a Mekubal, everything. And as a child, he memorized the entire Likutei Moran. He mentioned that he used to go up in Russia, he grew up in Russia, Ukraine, and he had a minig every morning after Shacharis. He would go up to the attic in the house and he wouldn't come down until he had memorized a chapter of Likutei Moran. And he did this until he memorized the entire Likutei Moran. And he would reprimand his students in later years, students who were Talmidei Chachamim, he would say to them, why don't you invest more time and effort? The Likutei Moran is a sefer. You're supposed to know forwards and backwards by heart. And I heard Rav Nachman Burstein say that Rav Avrom Sternhartz, Rav Koch of Leivzal, that he commented towards the end of his life that he felt he made a mistake, that he didn't invest more time in the Sipurei Maisis. Because the Sipurei Maisis has in it the entire Likutei Moran. And he said, I have the ability to show it. I can show in the stories of Sipurei that the entire Likutei Moran is about 400 pages, covering thousands of topics. Sipurei Maisis is maybe 100 pages or less, and it's stories. And he said the Sipurei Maisis has the entire Torah in it. Incredible. Any questions, please?
A couple of comments. I want to point out that in the Memphis Morim Torah Nicholas Behemoth, in the sixth parak of Avos, the last of them, the culmination of them is it brings us from the Tomer Aristotle Melech Shem Mordechai. That's the culmination of the Memphis Morim Shetor Enigmas Behem.
That's the culmination of?
Of the Memphis Morim Shetor Enigmas Behem.
Exactly.
Okay, and it bothered me at first, but that was a recent story. That had happened not so long before. And what you were saying, Sipurei Maisis be Shalom Kermonium, Kermonios is even more important. It occurred to me, yes, had it been, earlier Maisis have even more koach.
Correct. And since you bring this up, I'll share something that I saw a few days ago in a sefer. You know, we're in this period of Bein HaMetzorim, and many people who don't usually focus on the issue of Ahavas Yisrael and Ahavas Chinam and avoiding Sinas Chinam are talking about it more during this season. So I saw one of the Sforim mentions that why is it that here specifically the Megillah makes mention that Esther Hamalka told Vatagid Esther B'Shei Mordechai, that she told over the story in the name of Mordechai. She could have earned the greatest brownie points in the world by Ahasuerus in telling this story without saying who told her, in telling it over in her own name. The fact that she showed that she wasn't concerned for herself at all, but rather she was concerned for another human being, a different person, that she told the story over in the name of Mordechai so that the credit should be given to Mordechai, that's what brought about the Gula. When the Gemara says, Ha'oimer dofer b'shem omroi mevi gula loilam, that when a person tells over something in the name of the one that they heard it from, that brings the Gula to the world. Why? Why is this? What's so special about this that brings the Gula? Because what brings the Golus? Why are we in Golus? We're in Golus because we didn't care about another person. We hated other people, or we didn't love other people. That's what got us into Golus. So it's this item specifically, when a person has an opportunity to take credit for something for themselves, and they choose not to. I want credit to go to somebody else. This item brings Geula Loilam. This brings tremendous Geula. I see someone mentioned in the chat that we see from here that there's a good sleep and a bad sleep. Definitely. Definitely. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in many places in Likut Imran, that sleep is something that's required. A person must sleep. If they don't sleep, the Gemara says a person who makes a vow that they're not going to sleep for 3 nights, we put them to sleep immediately. We give them malchus and we put them to sleep. Because not sleeping is death. Sleep, the Gemara says, is 1/60th of death. And sleeping too much can be 70 years of sleep, chas v'shalom, but like everything, the right amount of sleep is life. It's tzimtzum, which is something that is required, is necessary. Ve'emunascha b'leilos. The Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Hasidus speak about the fact that when we go to sleep, when we're awake, the das is churning and we're learning more. When we go to sleep, we're shifting gears. We're going from Das into Emuna mode by saying Kriya Shema Lamito with Kavona. And sleep is when the Emuna is being ratcheted up to an incredible high level, which begins when we go to sleep at night. It gets stronger when we wake up at midnight and when we learn Torah and Tefillah from midnight till Shachris. When we say Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, the Emuna peaks, it hits a tremendous high peak. Any other questions, please?
If I can make one more point, I saw in the Zohar once, I don't claim to be a Bukhian Zohar, but I saw it in the Zohar in the Copious Roll. It says that all of the stories, all of the events that are recounted in the Torah are not to be taken literally at face value. They're all lessons about much deeper things.
I'd like to qualify what you're saying a little bit. I believe the Zohar HaKadosh doesn't say they should not be taken literally. It says they should not be taken only literally. Those stories actually happened in physical form. However, they have the deepest secrets, the highest level light of Torah, and incredible, incredible advice and revelations are found in those stories. Someone asked the question that there are many people that say that Cholent puts people to sleep on Shabbos. How do we understand this if the Gemara tells a story about a rabbi who said that he couldn't answer a certain question because he hadn't eaten, and the following morning he said after he had meat, now he's ready to answer the question, which means meat strengthens a person's das. We know that Rabbeinu Zal writes in incredibly powerful terms about Achila Shabbos, about how important it is to eat on Shabbos and to eat well on Shabbos, to eat foods that a person normally wouldn't eat during the week in terms of quality, to quality and to eat more than a person would eat during the week. And the Shelo HaKadosh gives an incredible warning telling people to be careful. The Shelo HaKadosh during his time in the 1500s, he knew that there were people who didn't interpret this correctly and people who would overeat on Shabbos or overindulge in a manner where the result of overeating, not only doesn't it give a person strength, but it weakens the body. It makes the person sleepy, and the person feels they have to get into bed with that heavy food, which means not sleeping a normal amount of sleep, taking an hour nap or a 2 hour nap, but chas v'shalom sleeping 4 or 5 hours and missing mincha on Shabbos and et cetera, et cetera. And when Rabbi Nizal said eating more, eating better on Shabbos, he was referring to people who eat properly during the week. We know that the Rambam writes that, quoting the Gemara, I believe, that a person should not leave the table full during the 6 days of the week. A person should finish their meal when they're at least 25 to 30% not full. That's considered healthy eating. That's considered a healthy meal. And the Sifrei Chassidus, again, I just saw this a few days ago in one of the Sforim, where it writes that in terms of a religious person is a person who eats less, who is always using discretion. How little do I need to eat for the body to be functioning properly, to be connected to Hashem? Because overeating, the Rambam writes clearly that eating too much healthy food does more harm for a person than eating a little bit of unhealthy food, chas v'shalom. And this is one of the major, major topics in the Torah. The Torah begins with eating, the Eitz Hadas. The first and only instruction that Hashem gave to Adam and Chava was about eating. Kosher eating and non-kosher eating. And the entire Torah is interlaced, every mitzvah just about is involved somehow with food, eating or not eating. When we eat, when we don't eat, how much we eat, etc., what we eat, etc. So that this issue is extremely important. And there's maybe 500 pages of Likutei Halachos devoted to eating, eating correctly and properly. So that eating cholent on Shabbos is a mitzvah. Eating 3 portions of cholent, or eating to excess, eating cholent after having been at 3 or 4 kiddushim before, etc., person has to use real discretion to eat correctly. Any other questions, please? Okay, we'll start the next paragraph, please. Paragraph Beis. Vehine Iker his gabrus Haman hoya b'chodesh Adar. Haman's main power at the time was during the month of Adar. She'oz rotzol his gaber. That's when he really wanted to overpower the Jewish nation. Alidei shero she'oz meis Moshe. But because he knew that that's the month in which the leader of the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu, had passed away on the 7th of Adar. Shehu hoyo iker uklal kabbalah satoira. Moshe Rabbeinu represents the entire Torah, and the whole concept of the Jews receiving the Torah was through him. Shalidei haTorah megalin haStoros. And it's through the Torah that we reveal the hiddenness of Hashem. As Rabbi Nizal elaborates on this in chapter 56 in Likutei Moran, the Sofar and Haman thought that once Moshe Rabbeinu died, oz nizbatel koyach esek haTorah. So then the whole power of the study of Torah went away. And the Hastorah can no longer be revealed. Therefore, Haman tried to do everything he could at that during the month of Adar. Kihu keneged malchus tikdusha, because he is the opposite of the Holy Kingdom. Ukesham malchus tikdusha bebchinas hastora, and when the kingdom of holiness is in a state of hiddenness, alidei she'ena oiskim batoira, by the Jews not studying Torah, Azayim is Gaber Bechinas Haman Amalek. Then the forces of Haman Amalek, the Malchus of the Sitrachra, becomes stronger. And this is why both of these are mentioned in the same pasuk. The voice is the voice of Yaakov Avinu, and the hands are the hands of Esav. Bizman shehakoil koil Yaakov, when the Jews are voicing their Torah, when we're speaking words of Torah and Tefillah, ein hayodayim idei Esav, then Esav does not have his power, the power of the sword, the power of the hands. Kaidei koil Yaakov shu esek haTorah, aidei zeh megalen haStoros. Through the voice of Yaakov, which means the proper study of the Torah, through this we reveal the haStorah. Vazai ein koyach lamalchus harishah, and then the kingdom of evil has no power. Shehi b'chinas yidei Esav, which is represented by the hands of Esav. Shehi malchus Haman Amalek, shumizar Esav. That's the kingdom of Haman Amalek, who is from the descendants of Esav. Vizeh b'chinas hipil pur hu hagoyrol. And this is why it tells us that Haman made this lottery, this goyrol. Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain this now. Ki hu ki lemala, because above in heaven, way, way above in the highest levels, kuloi toiv, there is only good. Visham, bisharosham, and up there in the highest levels, up there where everything is rooted, afilu hasitra achra bisharosha hu toiv. Even the Sitra Achra, the other side, where it's rooted, it's good. There is a Midas HaGvura in heaven, which is holy. There is a left side in spirituality, which is holy. Ulamato, however, down below, Nispardin Liyaminu Smoil. The holiness splits out into a right and a left. Shehem Sitra Digdusha, which is the side of holiness, which is referred to as the right, the Sitra Achra, and the other side. Ulemala, however, above, way up above, Nishba Shefa Hachayim Tomid, there is flowing always a flow of life, Shehu Kuloi Toiv, which is all good. Vitzorech Laso is Kalim Lekabel Hachius. We down below here have to prepare vessels to be able to receive that life that's flowing down from above. The way that we create these vessels is through the stories, through the study and fulfillment of the Torah. The Torah represents days, measurements. The Torah is all about boundaries, constrictions. 7 days work, six days work, 7 day no work. This is kosher, this is treif. This is day, night, all these boundaries and measurements. She'al yodo mekablim hachiyus letoich hakelim v'amidos. Through the study of Torah and observance of Torah, that's what enables us to receive this infinite light of Hashem in vessels, in tzimtzumim. Kama shekosov shom, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 56 in Likut Imran. And when we're not connected to the Torah, then the Sitra Achra is able to enter, the other side is able to enter, and to receive that life, that light that's coming down from above, as the Pasuk says, Tachas Eved Ki Yimloich, that there are times when the servant replaces the king and the maidservant replaces her master, chas v'shalom. The hagoyrol hu bechinas alma da'osi. The concept of a lottery is associated with olam haba, with the next world. K'may shekosov, as the pasuk says when it speaks about Moshiach coming, v'sanuach, you will rest. People will die, they'll be resting in the grave, the samoid, and they'll rise up again, they'll be tchias hamesim, the samoid legoyrolcha leketz hayomim. You will rise up to your true lot at the end of days, Leketz Hayomin, Kimarumos Bedivrei Rabbeinu Zal B'Mokam Acher, as Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in another place in Likutei Moran. We'll pause over here for now. Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain this topic of Goyrol, why Haman specifically made this lottery, what was he trying to accomplish with this? And again, this is a topic that appears in many places throughout Likutei Halachos. Because we know, remember, on the holiest day of the year, on Yom Kippur, the 10th day of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, which is the Keser, when the Kohen Gadol went into the Holy of Holies, the 10th level of holiness, on that day, one of the most important ceremonies was a Goyrol, whereby they took two goats that looked identical, same size, everything the same, and they drew lots. They made a lot to see which one is the Holy of Holies, which one would have its blood sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, and which one has all the sins of the entire Jewish nation, of the entire year, transferred on it, and it doesn't even get shechted, it gets pushed off a mountain, it gets torn to shreds. That was done via Goyrol, the highest Kedusha, and Haman HaRosho, who comes from Amalek, Esav, who is the most severe Sitra Achra, he makes a Goyrol to decide, to determine when is the most opportune moment to wipe out Lahashmid Laregulabe, to annihilate the Jewish nation completely. We'll continue this, Yitz Hashem, in the next shir.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a great day.
Sure. Any questions before we close?
It's great to listen to the stories. The concept behind the stories is the greatest.
Exactly. It's one of the incredible revelations of Rabbi Nachman. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We should be zeicha to use this to wake ourselves up and to wake up our wives and children, our friends, because we're in Golas. This is not a 70-year, we're in Golas for 2,000 years, which means we are very asleep now, spiritually. And one of the most powerful medications, potions, to wake us up is the stories of the Torah. We should be zeicha to learn the entire Torah, and especially to draw the light that comes from the stories, and to be awakened with, and all the dead should be awakened, all the tzaddikim, that all those that are asleep, should wake up and join us in the greatest revelation of all time.
Amen.
All the best.